Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something that's, well, both incredibly basic and somehow massively misunderstood in organizational improvement. The Plan-Do-Check Act cycle, PDCA.
Right, EDCA. It's pretty much the bedrock, the core framework for, you know, everything from quality control to lean manufacturing.
Exactly. But here's the strange thing we found in the research, a real paradox.
Which is?
You can't really run a successful improvement project without PDCA, yet most projects that say they're using it, well, they fail.
They do. And that's our mission today, isn't it? To cut through that that confusion and show you exactly why they fail. We're really going deep on the fundamentals that just keep getting missed.
And the cost of missing them is huge. I mean, the documentation we looked at is pretty clear. Most big improvement projects don't fail because they lacked some fancy software.
No, not at all.
They fail because they didn't properly follow this simple four-step loop. So we're going to unpack each step, but really zero in on where things tend to go off the rails.
Absolutely. It's about moving past just knowing the letters, PDCA,
right,
and understanding the rigor needed for each part. If you rush even one step, especially those later ones,
yeah,
your project's chances of actually sticking, of being sustainable, pretty much zero.
Okay, let's get into it then. Starting with P-Plan. Now, when most people hear plan, they probably think, yeah, got it. We know the problem. Let's just start doing stuff.
Right, the action bias.
But the source material suggests this plan phase. It's massive. So big, someone commented, it maybe needs more letters. Why is that?
Because plan, when you do it right, can easily eat up, say, 50, maybe even 70% of the whole effort. It's not just jotting down an idea.
Okay.
It's this whole iterative cycle of analysis. And if you skip parts of that, well, you're pretty much doomed your project before you even begin the do phase.
And hang on, don't most places think their, you know, their regular reports and dashboards are enough?
Yeah.
Why this really intensive upfront analysis in the plan phase? What makes it so vital?
Ah, that's where the rigor comes in. See, the plan phase isn't just one thing. It needs like five essential sub-steps. Mm-hmm. First, you got to define the scope. What exactly are you looking at? Which machine? Which process?
Okay, there it is.
Precisely. Second, define the target. What specific measurable goal are you actually trying to hit? If you skip those two, you're basically just wandering around hoping for the best.
And the third step, that seems like the one that really pushes back against how things usually work in an office, right? Sitting behind a desk.
It absolutely does. Step three is analyzing the current situation. And this isn't optional. It must involve Genchi Genbutsu.
Go into the source.
Go into the source.
Yeah.
To the shop floor, the call center, wherever the actual work happens. Mm-hmm. You have to watch. You have to talk to the people doing the job. Collect data right there. Get your boots on the ground. Don't just, you know, stare at spreadsheets someone else made.
So if you skip Genchi Genbutsu, you might be solving a problem that looks real on paper.
But doesn't actually exist that way in reality.
Yeah.
Or you miss the real problem entirely. Exactly. So once you have that deep, observed understanding, then you do the last two parts of plan, develop a few potential solutions, different ways to tackle it.
Right.
And then, critically, select the best one. Usually that's the one offering the biggest bang for your buck. Best results for the effort involved.
Okay, so that intense planning sets the stage. That's our blueprint. Now we move to D, the implementation.
Yep, D is where the rubber meets the road. You actually implement the chosen solution. You change the process, maybe pilot the new equipment.
Sounds straightforward enough.
Well, the material really stresses something here. Problems will pop up during due. Things you didn't think of in plan. And that's okay.
That's not failure.
No, it's normal. The goal during due is just to tackle those unexpected little fires as they come up and keep the implementation moving forward.
But the really crucial bit, it seems, isn't just making the change happen once. It's making it stick, right? How do you make sure the new way actually becomes the standard way?
Ah, that's key. Through really rigorous standardization and training. Look, it's easy to get people to try something new for an hour when you're watching.
Sure.
It's way, way harder to get them to actually adopt it permanently. So you have to create the new standard operating procedure, the SOP. Train people on it thoroughly. And then this is critical. You have to go back and confirm they're still following that standard, you know, a few days later,
yeah.
Not just while you're standing over their shoulder.
And checking if they're still doing it. That leads us straight into C-check. And this is where, well, the documentation practically screams warnings at us.
It really does.
This seems to be the moment most projects just sabotage themselves.
It is. It's the most frequently skipped step, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I'd argue probably the most important one. If we're looking at the big picture, check is, well, it's your reality check moment.
Okay.
The fundamental question you have to ask is, did the solution we implemented actually work? Did it hit the targets we set back in the plan phase? And crucially, did it sustain those results?
But if managers are supposedly so committed to improvement, why would they skip the step where they actually check if it worked? I mean, what makes them think a project is successful, even if maybe it isn't really delivering?
Well, sometimes the mere attention from management creates this illusion of success. This brings us to something called the Hawthorne effect trap.
The Hawthorne effect, right. What exactly is that, and why is it flagged as such a danger here?
So the Hawthorne effect, it goes way back, observed I think in the 1930s at the Hawthorne Works, a Western Electric plant. Basically, it showed that just the act of management paying attention to a group of workers, implementing any kind of change, really, whether it was good or bad, temporarily caused productivity to go up.
Just because they were being watched?
Pretty much. So imagine the VP is touring the area every day, asking for updates on the new process. For that week, guess what? The KPIs, the metrics, they probably look fantastic.
Okay, I see the trap.
Right. But that improvement might have nothing to do with how good the new process actually is. It's purely down to that temporary spotlight effect.
Which means, as soon as the VP moves on to the next big thing, the next crisis.
Exactly. The spotlight moves, the old habits creep back in, things get comfortable again, and bam, those amazing KPIs. They often slide right back to where they started. Or worse.
Ouch.
Yeah. So a real sustained improvement has to keep working long after that initial attention fades. And that's why a rigorous, deep, and maybe even long-term check phase is absolutely non-negotiable. You have to measure the results, the output, over enough time to prove the solution holds up on its own.
Okay, so the check gives us the hard truth, which finally brings us to the last step, ACT. This is the decision point, right? Based purely on what that sustained check told us.
Precisely. ACT is where you decide what happens next. If your check phase revealed, maybe uncomfortably, that the implementation didn't really meet the target sustainably, then you have to stop. You can't just ignore it. You have to dig in, find the root cause, why it didn't perform as expected. And that discovery, that immediately kicks off a new plan phase. The PDCA loop starts all over again, but this time you're smarter.
Okay, so failure leads back to planning. But what if check shows it was success? You've got proof, sustained results. The new standard works even when no one's looking over their shoulder.
Well then, first things first, you stop everything and you celebrate the team.
Yeah.
Success needs recognition. Seriously, the research we read really hammered this point home.
Celebrating success.
Yeah, acknowledging it is critical for keeping people motivated. There's actually a great little anecdote in there. Something about how effective a simple 3-pound bucket of gummy bears or similar could be for a shop floor team.
Gummy bears? Really?
Yeah, it's not about the, you know, the monetary value. It's the immediate, tangible, hey, your hard work paid off. We checked. It's real well done. Kind of recognition.
I like that. It's memorable. But okay, gummy bears consumed, celebration done. The work isn't over, is it? Continuous improvement means continuous.
Right. So post-success, that newly proven standard, that becomes the new baseline, the new normal. And then you look around, prioritize the next most important problem, usually the one that promises the best outcome for the effort needed, and you kick off a brand new PDCA cycle for that, onto the next improvement.
It all sounds so logical, step by step. Yet you mentioned earlier that check and act often get skipped. Why? Beyond just wanting to stick to the plan and do phases, what makes companies actively resist those last two crucial steps?
Well, let's be honest. Check and act can be politically tricky, sometimes even dangerous for people's careers.
How so?
Because they force the organization to confront potential failure, uncomfortable truths. Imagine you spent, say, millions on some fancy new equipment based on a plan that looked amazing on paper. And then a really thorough, honest check reveals, oops, that expensive gear isn't actually delivering the promised results. Maybe it's even causing new problems. Does management really want that news getting out? Sometimes. So the goal can subtly shift from genuine, sustained improvement to just the appearance of improvement to avoid blame for costly mistakes.
That's a very common trap, unfortunately. And this whole struggle, this resistance to, frankly, simple discipline of PDCA has led people to look for alternatives, competing frameworks, which brings up that whole debate around things like DMAIC.
Right, DMAIC. Define, measure, analyze, improve, control. You hear that one a lot, often pitched as maybe more modern, more structured than PDCA.
Sometimes, yes.
And the critics of PDCA might say, well, plan is too vague, and do and act sound almost the same. Why waste letters?
Mm.
Isn't DMASC's control step a better way to think about holding the gains than PDCA's act? That's definitely the argument some consultants make. They'll pitch DMAC as more logical, maybe easier to teach in a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
However, the author of the main source we dug into was, let's just say, absolutely not impressed with DMAC.
Really? Why not?
They found the sequence wasn't as stringent, not as rigorous. Specifically, they argue that DMAC sort of bundles the entire PDCA cycle into its single improved step, which kind of muddies the water.
Okay.
But the real deal breaker, the biggest criticism, and this brings us right back to why projects fail, was that DMAC's concept of checking if the improvement actually worked and stuck, the control part, was described as, and I quote, extremely weak or completely absent.
Wow. Extremely weak or completely absent. That's a pretty strong accusation against a popular methodology.
It is. And if that core component for long-term success, the rigorous check, the verification is missing or weak,
yeah,
well, then you're almost designing project failure right into the process from the start.
So DMAIC might let you declare victory too soon, based on maybe just the Hawthorne effect?
That seems to be the core critique. PDCA, by forcing that distinct check and then a conscious act based on the check, makes you confront the long-term reality. DMAC, in this view, can let projects wrap up based on those initial, possibly misleading, gains. Leaves the door wide open to being fooled.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener? Whether you're trying to optimize a huge production line or just, you know, make your own work process a bit smoother.
PDCA really is the fundamental building block. It sounds simple. Maybe even simplistic.
But doing it right, consistently, that's where the real challenge lies.
Absolutely. While plan and do often happen naturally, people like planning, people like doing stuff, getting that true, lasting improvement, that demands real focus, real discipline on the whole cycle. Especially check and act, the steps that, let's face it, aren't always fun.
Yeah, confronting reality isn't always fun. So the big takeaway seems to be, genuine improvement isn't about that first shiny presentation showing success. It's about what's actually happening 3 months down the line when the spotlight's off and the gummy bears are long gone.
Exactly. Which leaves us with a final thought for you to maybe mull over. Based on that observation, we discussed that sometimes management might not want to hear the bad news from a rigorous check.
Right.
What should you prioritize in your work? The immediate appearance of success, maybe closing the budget on time? Or the tougher, potentially unpopular, but sustained truth that only comes from really following through with check and act?
Something to think about. That's our deep dive for today. We'll catch you on the next one.